Well, Miles, to be honest, I think if you'd asked most Irish supporters, they were hoping this would happen, but you had to be a realist, and after the performance against Wales, which was rather disappointing, and of course England's taking apart Scotland, albeit in the second half, you know, it was always on, but it was a matter of could it perform. But I think after 15 minutes, the writing was on the wall, and Ireland had certainly put up that they were going to win this one. A ferocious start, and really, from then on, England, at no stage could you say ever got into the game. I can't recall throughout the match, Miles, even one back movement from the English team. And certainly, I know Eddie Jones talked about this, high balls in the air, but I think at the end of the day, it was England resorting the high ball and hoping that they would get a favourable bounce. But over the 80 minutes, it was a tremendous Ireland team performance. And to be fair to Jones and Dylan Hartley, and reading the papers here today, there was nobody that didn't say anything different. And the best team won over the 80 minutes. And That's what it's all about. Reputations and records and all the rest of it mean nothing, but you have to get points on the board.
Yeah, there were those that were analysing the Ireland-Wales game, and they were saying, well, it was small margins that changed the balance of that game. Momentum seems to be a vital part of any game, and I suppose Ireland maybe didn't get that rub of the green against Wales. Is there anything else that you would have suggested that maybe would have got Ireland over the line against Wales?
Well, hindsight, of course, Mike, is a great thing, and I suppose Robbie Henshaw will always be remembered, and I'm sure when he can't sleep at night, they'll be remembering about that time he came into the side of the mall whenever Rory Best was about to drop over. Had Ireland scored that try and kicked the conversion, they had a point lead, and quite honestly, I think at that particular time, they had the momentum, and they had it, but unfortunately, losing out in that try was a thing. I said last week to you that I felt that the selection of Joe Smith, before the Welsh game, I felt that Henderson and O'Mahony should have played. And it's strange, you know, how fate takes its call. If we think back to the tour in South Africa, Joe Smith picked a squad of players. Four or five of those players got injured and young guys came in. And they were the instigation and the catalyst for that superb tour to South Africa. You know, Conor Murray getting injured and not available. You know, after yesterday, you have to say that young Marmion had a superb game. Jamie Heaslip, the great warrior he has been, but I have been a wee bit critical of him over the last number of games. He pulls out with an Achilles injury or a hamstring or something. And Peter O'Mahony, who was probably just waiting to be unleashed, he knew he would get a run out, but he didn't think he'd get in from the start. He's produced a man of the match performance, and both him and Henderson dominated the line out, gave Ireland that security out of touch, and that made a big, big difference. But, you know, I noticed that Joe Smith said today that they've been holding Henderson back, but they think he's arrived now. Certainly, it was a great way to finish. The main thing, I think, from yesterday, Miles, was that I'm sure Joe Smith and Ari's team would have known about it, but not worried too much. Ireland, with that result yesterday, have now finished. They're now rated fourth in the world. So no matter what else happens, Ireland will now go on as one of the four top seeds for the World Cup in 2019. And that is very, very important, because that means you're not going to meet New Zealand in the initial stages. You know, I think maybe a lot of people didn't realise that, but that result yesterday was fantastic in the sense that Ireland finished as runners-up. But to maintain a top four seeding for the World Cup, that's very, very important.
Yeah, that was missed by, you know, wasn't emphasised as much as maybe it should have been, because it was a vital statistic and a vital situation, because as you say, you could be taking on New Zealand in the first games and out of the competition. There'll be no quarter final or certainly no semi final of that situation.
No, that's the big thing. I mean, you know, I know it's only 2017, but as I say, you can afford a blip, but you're still in there now when it comes to the draw when it's been made. Ireland are number four, and that's the way it is. And certainly, it had been mentioned, but I think it's a very, very important thing that maybe it wasn't said too much. Of course, the other coincidence as well, Miles, was that when Ireland beat the New Zealand in Chicago Field, they had gone 18 and go 18 victories in a row, and when Ireland met England at the Aviva, they had 18 victories in a row. So to take down both New Zealand and England after 18 victories each is not a bad performance.
It sure isn't. That's right. I suppose that there will be regrets that maybe they didn't perform as well as they should have against Scotland, considering how England beat them. They were up for the Irish game, there's no doubt about that, but maybe Ireland weren't up for it as much as they should have been. And then small margins, Wales beat them, you know, they could have had the Triple Crown Grand Slam themselves.
Yeah, this is the whole thing. It's all about ifs and buts, you know. In a sense, when we talk about Erniget, you can also talk the same about Wales, who really had England beaten, had Jonathan Davis not been able to put his left foot kick into the second row of the stand instead of down the throat of Mike Brown, the England full-back. You know, they could have won that. And then that fiasco yesterday, whenever Wales were leading, and 20 minutes of... extra time or injury time or whatever you want to call it, and they lost out by 2 points to France. So they're in a similar situation, thinking the same thing that happened. So it's small margins that this Six Nations has been, you know, as I said, England got out of jail, certainly against the Welsh, and even against, in the game against France, there was very little in that one as well. But they came through, and there's two or three sides will be saying, you know, we had a chance, but it's all very well, Maes. You know, at the end of the day, you have 80 plus minutes on the pitch, and it's what happens in those 80 minutes that matters. But I think it's good from Ireland's point of view that the Scottish result was disappointing. They hammered the Welsh. You know, the game against Wales could have gone on anyway, but this was a great finish. And as I say, finishing runners-up in the Six Nations, but I still get back to the thing. I would say that down in Donnybrook tomorrow morning at the IRFU headquarters, they'll be more than happy that Ireland won as a top seed come the next World Cup.
How important, Alec, are tactics in those games? Ireland seemed to have got them right yesterday in that they were moving the English about. There's some big, heavy forwards that are quite good and near the rocks and so on, but when they have to move around the pitch, maybe not so good. So Ireland seem to get their tactics right.
They did, of course. England, as you say, are a big, strong pack. And it's very easy moving forward, Miles, when Vinopolo's making 10, 15 metres and then they offloading the Haskell and offloading the Toji, you know. But they never got that game going yesterday. And the fact was that first 15 minutes, some of the clear-outs of the breakdowns, some of the tackles from the Irish team were absolutely amazing. They just absolutely took them on. And you wouldn't have believed that England had so much more weight advantage. The other thing was the set pieces were absolutely superb. The first half, the Ireland scrum was putting England under so much pressure. They're not used to this sort of thing. And boys like Dan Cole, you know, who are basically in there for their scrummaging, they got a bit of a shock. Same in the line-outs. I mean, Ireland's line-out yesterday was perfect. The English struggled all the time. But I think there's a lot of talk made about George Ford and these guys at out half and all the rest of it. I mean, the English halfbacks, I thought they were pretty poor yesterday. I've never been convinced, Miles, as you know, about Ford as an out half. I still think under pressure. I mean, as he showed on a couple of occasions yesterday, he kicked the ball out of touch. Fowler never got going, and the great Joseph, after his try scoring hat-trick against Scotland, I mean, he literally didn't move and was taken off, and looked pretty dejected at the same time. But now the wingers got an opportunity to run the ball. The other person I think should get a mention, he got a little bit of stick earlier on, was Jared Payne. Okay, dropped that first ball and maybe he had another slight knock on, but the man showed sheer class, especially in the second half, and the way he countered and the number of times that he set the ball up from 15, I think, you know, that Joe Smith now would probably maybe think in the next couple of years Payne could be your 15, because Rob Kearney has had a great innings, but he doesn't have that counter-attacking skills that Payne has. And you notice that, you know, Payne sort of brought a lot of solidity, especially in the second half, and that was quite noticeable that any time there was a break in proceedings or an injury, Payne was talking to Ringrose and young Henshaw and them, and the experience that he has is very, very important on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's that done and dusted. I suppose the next big occasion is for the combined forces of Ireland, England, Scotland and Wales coming together as the Lions. How do you see the Irish performing there when Gatland picks his team?
Well, I think it's April the 17th he picks his team, and I noticed there... reading a few of the things on the website that he said that there's up to six players that he is considering as captains. He said that the captain does not necessarily have to be in the starting lineup, which is very, very interesting. And I think, you know, shows maybe that the captain maybe could be very, very important. Maybe he would be a bench player at times. But in this modern game, Miles, of course, very few captains ever last 80 minutes because of the intensity of the game, depending on where they play. But certainly, there, you know, there has to be a few players. We'd like to think that our own Rory Best would certainly be in there. Alan Wynne-Jones, Dylan Hartley, I don't honestly think he'll consider. Sam Warburton, of course, has been touted again, having been captain of the 2013 Lions. And Warburton has had a resurrection unbelievable from a player a year ago who looked done and dusted. One has to say that he's had a great series, but you know, it's not the All Blacks that he's playing at the moment. It's a certain, you know, it's the teams here, and therefore it has to be thought. As regards Ireland players who you could say, Miles, you would have to say that Conor Murray, but him and Johnny Sexton will certainly be played. I mean, I think they're taking something like 36 or 38 players, so there will be three players at times for certain positions. Tag Furlong, I think, as a tight head prop, has to be in there with a great shout of even starting the games. He has been tremendous, as has been Jack McGrath. Young Henderson, Donoghue Ryan, you have to say both of them. The three lads yesterday who played in the back row, you know, CJ Stander, O'Brien and O'Mahony, they put their hands up yesterday. Henshaw and Ringrose, superb talent. Henshaw especially. Ringrose maybe is a couple of years too early, but Henshaw strikes you as the sort of aggressive centre that you need playing the All Blacks, because when you play the All Blacks, it's all right being sulky skills, and but you need to be a strong runner, and more than that, mate, you need to be able to put in the tackles because you know you're going to get them. It's hard to say. Zeebo went the last time, but you know, it depends what Gatlin wants, and certainly yesterday none of the Irish players have done themselves any harm regarding that, but a lot of the English players, I think, who thought they had their playing tickets booked, I think there might be a few disappointments. I think Dylan Hartley especially, because I think George could well get the nod over him as a hooker, because I've always thought over the last 18 months that he's a much better all-round player than Dylan Hartley. I mean, Hartley's been captain and has been living on his reputation a wee bit, albeit he's probably lost out a bit because of trying to keep himself on the right side of referees. It's affected his game, which, you know, Gavin doesn't want, because you need a captain on the pitch who can talk to referees. And I think if you were looking at anybody, the one player who seems to have a great repartee with referees, as was shown yesterday, is Best. But it'll be interesting to see, Miles, and there's still a few games yet in the European Cup and in the Pro 12 and all. I'm sure Gavin has probably got 80% of his players picked up, but who knows? Before they get on the plane to New Zealand, I'm sure there'll be a few injuries and a few disappointed players.
Yeah, exactly, as there normally is. Okay, let's look at the local results. Have you some from...
I know Ireland, I took the show yesterday, Miles, was that great, but there's a few congratulations due in the North West. In the Rugby Championship 1, Omagh beat Carrick yesterday by 18 points to 6, and the Mellon Park side can now say they're the best junior club in Ulster Rugby. They've got through in that one. They had a win yesterday because Stonians had a couple of games left, which they actually won, picking up 10 points, but Omagh's 18-6 defeat of Carrick yesterday means that Omagh finished after 18 games, 15 wins with 69 points, and Stonians 18 games, 15 wins, but only 68 points. So congratulations to Omagh. As you know, I have been praising them all season, in fact the last couple of seasons, for the resurgence that they've got, and they now find themselves going into the round robin for to see if they can get into the All-Ireland League. And I think Clonmel is the Munster team. I'm not sure who the other two are, but irrespective of that, they'll have three more matches to play. I'm led to believe the last day I was at Omagh that I was told if they managed to win that they would have two home games and one away. So who knows what could happen, but it's a tremendous performance by Omagh to achieve what they've done against a lot of very, very good sides. And, you know, it's only about 4 or 5 years ago where they were struggling, but the club has certainly got together with the new players. Their seconds have won their league as well. And, you know, everything's going really, really well at Mellon Park. In the Gordon West Cup, Cavan, who I was just looking at where they are in Championship 3, I think they're led about fourth from bottom, but they won yesterday. And that's great. It gets them into the final of the Gordon West Cup. Actually, they beat Hollywood 31-8, I'm seeing here from my notes, and they will now play the PSNI at the final at Ravenhill against Newry. So I'm sure the players from Cavan will be absolutely delighted to have a day out at the Kingspan, and let's hope that they can do well. And then in the Butler Shield semi-final, Stavan Seconds, they beat the PSNI by 20 points to 9, and they will now play Ballinahinch in the final of that. So there's three North West sides yesterday. Omagh have won the league, and Cavan and Strabane have a chance to win the Gordon West and the Butler Shield respectively. So it's been a good season, Miles, for those clubs, but I say Pride of Place has got to go to Omagh, and their season has by no means finished yet.